never been more thrilled about.
Thank you. You know, what he's saying is so true. Just really quickly, for me, I didn't have a godly father, and I had a father who was in my life sometimes, and other times we lived in different states, we lived away, my parents were divorced, but not having a godly father in my life, God just took care of that. Not only did I have a Bible, but I also had places where when I did get parents or people who would take me to church, I had different people like you guys who were out there that saw this little girl and said, you can call me dad, you know, and so I think over the years I had at least six different dads. Even when my Bob and I were married, there was someone who was such an impact in our life that he was Dad Dashner, Dad Kaiser, Dad so-and-so, and I had so many people. So I'm so thankful for the men, the people. We need godly men, don't we? And so I thank you guys for that. So one more, just a quick reminder, I'm going to keep on reminding you guys about VBS. Please keep on praying for Vacation Bible School. We have about 4 weeks, and we have our another meeting this Monday night at 6:30. So if you look around and you see that perhaps somebody's not here that needs to be reminded, remind them about the meeting at 6:30 tomorrow. If you still are interested and you haven't made it to the meetings, but you'd like to come and find out, you're welcome to come as well. And one more thing, if I've got maybe a couple people who didn't get a shirt and they'd like to have a shirt ordered. So if you think maybe you wanted to get a shirt and you're a leader for Vacation, even if you're not a leader and you want to support us by buying and getting a shirt and wearing a Vacation Bible School shirt, please see Kathy and let Kathy know your size and the color. You have orange and green. They're going to look awesome. So thank you, guys.
And I'll also say happy Father's Day, you fathers, and especially we want to say it to, happy new parent day, I guess you would say, to Russ and Kathy for a beautiful wedding yesterday for Sarah and Matt. That's what all this was about, and it was beautifully done, and just a wonderful time of celebration, so we wish them well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for your goodness and kindness in so many ways. And we say happy Father's Day to you that we can say every day because you're in our lives and you love us and show us in so many ways how much you care for us and as we can be your children. Be in this day, Father, as we celebrate as the family of God. And may we do so with cheerful hearts and acknowledge who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This song talks about the good things that are yet to come, because I just know that's something good for us.
I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. When God's people humble themselves and call on Jesus, and they look to heaven expecting us, they pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen, and brother, it could be this very day. I have learned in all that happens just to praise him, for I know he's working all things for my good. Every tear I shed is worth all the investment. I know he'll see me through, he said he would. He has said that eye nor ear can hardly fathom all the things he has in store for those who pray. I just feel like something good is about to happen, and brother, could be this very day.
Oh yes, I noticed all the bad news in the paper, and it seems like things get bleaker every day. But for this child of God, it makes no difference, because it's bound to get better either way.
I have never been more thrilled about tomorrow. Sunshine's always breaking through the skies of gray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could happen any day. I just feel like something good is about to happen. I just feel like something good is on its way. He has promised that he'd open all of heaven. And brother, it could happen any day. I have never been more thrilled about tomorrow. Sunshine's always bursting through the skies of gray. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be this very day. I just feel like something good is about to happen. And brother, it could be. Sister, it could be. Brother, it could be this very day. Something good is about to happen. Something good is about to happen. Something good is about to happen.
Yeah. All right. All right. I invite you to stand and let's continue singing, lifting up praises to the Lord, our Heavenly Father. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Lift it up.
Come all ye weary, come all ye thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all ye sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for.
Oh, yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. All you failures, bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms.
Oh, yes.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Oh, praise him this morning.
Praise God, him. Praise him for the wonders of his love. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him. For the wonders of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son.
Oh, sing it again.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Forever believes in him, will live forever.
Thank you for your power.
The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well, I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Thank you, Lord, for of loving us.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me all. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. His hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget. And though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be crucified, and earth and heaven be one.
I think the key line in that verse is that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated as we continue to lift up his name.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. And I see many searching for answers far and wide, but I We've all searching for answers. Only you provide, because you just what we need. Before we say a word, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. A good, good Father. All that I need. You are perfect in all I need. You are perfect in all of your ways. To us, He is perfect. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. And love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. Peace so unexplainable, I can hardly think. As you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, as you call me deeper still, still love, love. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. Who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am, and you're good, good Father. It's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. Think about that. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am.
You're a good, good Father, Lord. We give you praise and glory for loving us each and every day, Lord. Thank you, Father, for knowing us, yet loving us.
Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Sam and I are doing double duty here, so if you see little pauses in between, it's okay. We're trying to do slides and the music at the same time. And so, have a good week this week? Not been too hot, too cold? Last night was perfect night, wasn't it? Perfect, 41 degrees, whatever it was. Windows open. Had a good time at the wedding yesterday with Matt and Sarah. There's the remains. They had a great time. It was a good reception, and I saw, Russ, are you sore today?
No, I'm fine. I just want to say something about the Hanging's new suburb. Yeah. The Doyleys were from Sarah's grandmother. She may hand me the Doyleys, and the jars are from her grandfather's moonshine.
Okay. We'll make sure we stop the recording at that point, so... I thought they might have been doilies from a grandmother or something, because it looks like something my grandmother made at one time, but it was a nice day. It turned out nice. They did a little braiding of the cords and things. They talked about three-stranded cord and things, so it was nice. But
hey, Russ, where's the moonshine?
Now, he was dancing around on the dance floor, and I thought his back would be sore today because he was complaining about how it hurt from carrying that in. And he was doing all this little spinning around stuff yesterday, so I thought, well, you'll probably be sore today from that, but I guess he wasn't. Anybody have any testimonies this morning, what God's been doing for you? Tina.
I have a praise. A few years back, I was diagnosed with a couple of heart issues. And this last week, I went to my cardiologist, a yearly checkup. And I don't have those issues anymore. And I said, well, I know what. And she looked at me and smiled. And I said, that's just prayers answered. So we were able to talk about prayer during that visitation. And also remember, Randy and I, we're going out of town tomorrow to visit family in Kentucky. So just remember us driving there and back. Thank you.
Just want to thank everybody that prayed for my wife. We're so blessed that she come through her surgery very well. I just praise God, can't say it enough. And she got so many cards and texts and calls and visits before and from you all. And she just appreciates all your love.
Good. Good, 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 good.
As you remember, I left church last Sunday early, but it was for a good cause. I went to a baptismal at Lake Choctaw. 8 people were baptized at one time. I thought that was wonderful. They all had praise of God in their souls and their hearts, and they all come out there shouting and praising God. So be thankful for that. Amen.
Continue to pray for Pat McAvoy, who's recovering from surgery, and Sandy, and who else am I trying to think of? Several other ones we've had. Yes, you do, in case you see me in the parking lot. It's not about you.
I got a big mouth.
About the microphone.
I just like thank the Lord for just for being a good father. Got me through my life. Got a great wife. I was just thinking the other day. Got a beautiful house, working in the yard, and just things are good, and that's just all because of him, and I couldn't have done without him, so I'd just like to give Father praise.
Pray for Ann Cordell, with her fingers are healing up as well, and I know Larry Roush is dealing with a hip, and Jeff's hip is, are you back to normal? I mean, is your hip back to normal? Church can be fun, you know.
It is fun. I have been praying for a long time about what to do with my life and the future with COVID times and just teaching eighth grade for 31 and a half years. It's really challenging. And I thought I was going to retire after this year or next, but I prayed about it and I applied for a sixth grade position in our district. And after a month and a half, I got a phone call and I accepted the job this week at Galloway Ridge Intermediate. That was the answer to my prayer. God led me there.
That's good. That's good. Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for being with us. God, you know these different requests that we have for physical needs. There's also spiritual needs as well, and emotional needs, financial needs. We pray for those this morning. Give you the praise for the answers that you've given us and shown us and encouraged us by through healing, through answers to prayer, or through safe travels and those kind of things. So we just thank you for that as well, and we ask you to be with us this morning, Lord, as we strive to worship you, represent you the best that we can to convey your word to to those here. Thanks for your guidance and your direction with us. Thanks for helping us out, Lord, when we fail, lifting us up when we fall. And continue to give us your strength and direction in your name. Amen.
I would remind you of a news story that Russ shared with us, but I'll wait a second because there's someone here. You would just want to get real close to me?
Oh, I do.
Pastor's hungry, so he's going to lunch now. And we'll take the offering three times. And now he has something he needs to do, and he'll be right back directly, right after these messages. But anyway, about the news story that Russ was sharing with us a few weeks ago. Remember the rodeo rider, the young man that was on the bull, and for some reason, those bulls can get real fussy when somebody's on their back, and this one was jumping around and threw this young man off, and he got somewhat injured. He was laying just on the ground. The bull was still running around, and the clowns and everybody trying to do their thing to get his attention, but meanwhile, the young man's dad was up in the crowd, just very close to the rack where the young man went out with the bull. He jumped the fence just like that, and he laid down his body all over his son's and covered him completely. The bull didn't like that very well and gave him a jab or so, but the young man remained safe beneath his father. And I'm so grateful that our Lord loves us, that he would give his life for each one of us. Imagine being there at the foot of the cross. Imagine a love that is that deep. Why, we have a lot to learn about it. And that's why we're here, because he loves. In my weakness, through the struggle, when I'm questioning why, in my grief and every sorrow, when I have to say goodbye, he whispers peace. And my heart understands the God who made the world holds me in his hands. He knows, he cares, he sees, and he's there. No matter what goes wrong, I know I'm not alone. He hears, he moves. There's nothing that my Father wouldn't do to prove to you and me how much he loves. The God of Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham,
the God of David, the God of Isaac, the God of who I am. He spoke the universe with, let it be. It's all about him, yet he's all about me. He knows, he cares, he sees, he's there. No matter what goes wrong, I know I'm not alone. He hears, he moves. There's nothing that my Father wouldn't do to prove to you and me how much he loves. He loves. He hears and he moves. There's nothing that my Father wouldn't do to prove to you and me how much he loves. He
Well, happy Father's Day. It's not just for fathers, though. It's for all those filling in as fathers. Sometimes mothers have to fill in as fathers, don't they? I mean, my dad left when I was 9, or divorced when I was 9, left when I was 14, so my mom was actually my dad as well. So he had to kind of fill in for both, and that's a hard job to try to do, to try to fill in. But she did the best she could, and made a few mistakes. You can tell by looking at me, there's a few mistakes made. But we came through it okay. We made it all right. And I just try to be the better father for my kids than my dad was for me. Try to beat all their events and all their things and do things with them and beat them as many games as I could, as long as I could. And now they beat me, so it's, you know, they're getting all that stuff back. We don't really play video games together because it's not really a video game for me because I get killed every time. So it's, they wait. I don't know if you ever played Call of Duty, one of those kind of games. There's places called spawns, you know, where people reappear. Well, they just sat there, and every time I spawned, I got killed every time, so I don't play that anymore. We play other games, like cards and no running games, really, because they're faster than me now. But we do play soccer a lot of times on Sundays, and I'm going to keep doing that as long as I can, trying to be with them as much as I can and do things as much as I can. And so hopefully I'll make it another 10 or 20 years playing soccer. There's like 3 of us out there. I think the oldest guy is 64, and I'll be 62, and the other guy is 61 or something like that that play. And then the youngest one that plays, sometimes we have high schoolers out there that play. So it's fun. We have girls play as well, which is good. Some of the girls are better than some of the guys. But here's a small boy's definition of what Father's Day is. He said, it's just like Mother's Day, except you don't spend as much money. Sam, you got the slides. You got to slide to that seat now. Click the arrow. See, we're used to, this is great. We're working on this. So here's a dad joke for you. Why are balloons so expensive? Inflation. I knew you'd love that. I knew you'd love that joke. So the next one is a dad in training. He's training his son about fishing. And I thought it was cute just to see him, you know, his dad's out there fishing, and he's sleeping probably, but at least he's getting the idea what it's like. So a lot of times, you know, our kids watch what we do, the good and the bad. So we need to make sure we're doing the best we can do. And hopefully we give them all the good things. But what is a dad anyway? And I found a poem that says, what's a dad? A dad is someone who wants to catch you before you fall, but instead picks you up and brushes you off and lets you try again. A dad is somebody who wants to keep you from making mistakes, but instead lets you find your own way, even though his heart breaks in silence when you get hurt. A dad is someone who holds you when you cry, scolds you when you break the rules, shines with pride when you succeed, and has faith in you even when you fail. That's what fathers should be, right? Not all of us had fathers like that, did we, though? Doesn't mean we can't be fathers like that. Doesn't mean we can't be people to encourage. If the child doesn't have a dad, doesn't mean somebody else can't come along and encourage them and kind of be in that place and do those things and encourage people. As dads and parents, we want the best for our children. We want to protect them from harm and failure, but there are times we need to let our kids learn what's right and what's wrong. Sometimes they have to go through struggles, don't they? And you have to be there with them to kind of walk them through it. Like the first time you break up with your girlfriend or boyfriend. Devastating thing, right? Not the end of the world. You think it's the end of the world, but it's not the end of the world. God has somebody out there for you. There's going to be tears, and there's also going to be trust and love. We are see our children trusting us, and we got to trust them to make decisions as well. Sometimes they don't always make the best decisions, and we didn't make the best decisions when we were growing up. But they got to make decisions for themselves. They got to grow up into that maturity of being an adult. And that's not always easy, is it? Especially not in these times, not in this world. Everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got some idea of what you should be doing or shouldn't be doing. But our job is to prepare our children the best that we can. Teach them the values and morals and godly principles. And to help them see that God loves them. He's faithful. And then we can allow them to go into the world and make their own mark. Some parents and dads and moms try to live through their kids, don't they? They wanted to do something, so their kids need to do that. Well, that's not it. Now, maybe you were great at playing sports and they like music. That's okay, right? You can't make them do what you did. They got to do what they do. And you can help them make those decisions and prepare them. So it's Father's Day. Because of that, we're going to look at one of the fathers in the Bible you may have not looked at before. It's in Mark chapter 5. Jairus. Know who Jairus is, and you know some of the story. If you don't know who Jairus is, then you're going to find out this morning. We're going to start in verse 21, so chapter 5, verse 21. Prior to this, Jesus was on the other side of the sea and in Gerasenes, where he healed the man who was possessed with demons. If you remember the story, there was demons in this guy. He would break chains and do all kinds of things, and he called them legion. So he sent him into these pigs. And the pigs, 2,000 pigs, it said, they jumped off this cliff. The people of the town were upset and were kind of scared and told Jesus to go away. So this is before what we're going to get to now. It says, when Jesus, in verse 21, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter's dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So first of all, who is this guy? He's not just Joe Schmo off the street. This is a synagogue leader, so he's a prominent religious guy. Probably not so much in favor of Jesus. We don't really know his opinion of him. But we know this leader's coming to bow before Jesus. Jesus is gaining popularity. Maybe the guy's worried about protecting a position, but at this point it doesn't matter. Only thing that matters to him is that his child's life is spared, that his daughter gets healed. He doesn't care about his position, doesn't care if people see him. He's there to try to get help. So he bows at Jesus' feet. So can you imagine that? The religious leader bowing at Jesus' feet, who a lot of the leaders are calling a heretic, right? They're saying he's a false teacher, but this religious leader is bowing at Jesus' feet. What an example of a father's love. Most important thing to him at this time is his daughter. He doesn't care about anything else. Doesn't care what people say. Doesn't care about his position. Doesn't care about his job, his ambition, his title, or even his pride. But sometimes we get that backwards, don't we? We think our job is important. I got to go to work. I got to do these things, you know, earn money for my kids, but I'm never there to be with them. Well, you can have all the money in the world and do all this stuff for your kids, but if you're not there, what good does it do you? If you never talk to them, you're not there to help raise them, you're not there to spend time with them, to make memories. When you're gone, all they're going to have is memories, right? So you need to make the memories that you can make now with your kids while you're there. They grow up way too fast, and then our prime teaching time and shaping time is gone. So Jairus was a man who put his family first. He had a dying daughter, and he needed to have her healed. So he went to Jesus and pleaded for him to come and heal his daughter. So he was a guy who wasn't afraid to ask for help. Guys don't usually ask for help a lot of times, do they? Especially directions. That's why I think they created the phone. So you can put your GPS on and it'll tell you where to go, right? But that's not always right either. But he loved his daughter more than anything else. So being a father is a learning experience, isn't it? Nobody starts out being a father knowing everything. I mean, you could pretend to know everything, but you don't know everything. How are you supposed to do this? How are you supposed to do that? Remember the first time when you brought your child home, if you have kids, and it was your turn to change the diaper? You're like, what? I don't know. How does things tape across here? We used cloth ones for a while. That was a disaster. Went back to the disposables, but changing diapers, the boys and girls are different too, and you know the difference in that. When you have the little adventure, when you open the diaper up, you know, boys and girls are a little bit different there. You got to kind of put your goggles on and protect yourself. But as men, as fathers, as parents, we need to ask God for help sometimes, because sometimes we don't know what the answer is. We don't know what to do. They may ask a question or be in a situation we don't know how to get out. We know what the right thing should be, but they may not make that choice. So we just pray that they make the right choices. And we as dads need to make the best choice for our families, and that's not always what we want sometimes. There may be a job offer in another city that's going to pay more money, but your kids want to stay here and go to school and be with their friends. So maybe you're going to say, I'm not going to take that other job because it's more important for my kids to be here until they get out of school. Some of those things we do, moms do that a lot of times. We've talked about that before, about, you know, there's two pieces of pie left and three people, and mom's like, I'm not hungry right now. Well, dads do those kind of things just in a different way sometimes. Well, he got to Jesus, and Jesus agreed to come with him. Verse 24 says, so Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Sounds pretty familiar today, doesn't it? Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt in her body that she was free from the suffering. So think of how Jairus is feeling right now. Jesus is heading to his house. His daughter's about ready to die. And all of a sudden, somebody touches his cloak in this big crowd. And Jesus stops and says, wait a minute, somebody touched me. The disciples are like, what are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. He's like, no, somebody touched me and I felt healing go out. And Jairus is probably like, let's go. We got to get going. My daughter's in desperate need and you're stopping because somebody touched you in this crowd? But yet this woman was healed. And I think part of that reasoning is so Jairus could see Jesus' healing take place before he went to his daughter. So he saw this woman being healed just by touching his cloak, that he was healed. Maybe he was a little bit impatient. I'm not sure. But he loved his daughter and didn't want her to die. It says, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came up from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, your daughter's dead. Why bother the teacher anymore? How would you feel if they said that to you? And would your heart sink like, oh, too late? We missed it. We didn't get there. Traveled so far, and now his daughter was dead. But just when it looks like hope is lost, verse 36 says, overhearing what they said, Jesus said to him, don't be afraid, just believe. How many times do we need to hear that? Don't be afraid, just believe. It's going to be okay. I think dads do that a lot of times with their kids, don't they? There's something tough going on, and he said, don't be afraid, I'm here. It's going to be all right. I've got you. So Jesus heard what Jairus had said. Basically, Jesus said to him, you know, don't worry, I've got this. It's going to be all right. Even though circumstances seemed impossible, Jesus reassured him that it was going to be okay. That's how we need to be, don't we? Things are serious and out of control. We need to give Jesus our trust. Worrying and yelling and losing control doesn't work, does it? Doesn't do any good. You can get as mad as you want, you can get upset as you want, you can get out of control as you want, you can worry about things, but it doesn't change the circumstance that you're in. You have to just trust God and say, I know God's bigger than this. I know He's going to take care of it. I may not know how He's going to take care of it or when, but I know He's going to take care of it. And just trust that it's going to happen. And we need to show our families we can do that, that we can trust in God in all situations. So Jesus loved Jairus and his daughter, and He was there to help. Have you ever been in a situation you didn't have control? And everybody's looking to you like, what are you going to do now? And you're like, I have no clue. We're just going to trust God's going to show us the way, He's going to provide, He's going to happen, and we're going to get through this. Godly fathers know God. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? Godly fathers know God, but you can't be a godly father if you don't know God. You have to know God in order to be a godly father. They know His word, they know He's faithful to what He says and what He's going to do. They're able to be strong in difficult situations because God's with them. And they know people are following them. If you know your kids are watching you, you're liable to pay attention to what you're doing, aren't you? Because you don't want to be a bad example for them. You want them to follow you. You don't just run across the street and think, oh, my kids are just going to stay over there. We were driving through our neighborhood yesterday. These guys were playing basketball with three or four little kids, and a new neighbor that's there was waving his kid to come across as I'm getting ready to drive through. And what do you think the one kid did? Ran in front of me. And the guy's like, and I'm like, yeah, I understand. He's a kid. All the rest of the kids went, but one kid went the other direction. And then we went back again the other direction, and all the kids went this way, but a different kid ran across in front of us. And I'm like, but we're there to teach our kids what's the right thing. If you go to another country like Australia especially, you need to look both ways before you cross the street because traffic comes from the other direction. You go like this and step out, and they're going to kill you because traffic's coming from that way. We found that out the first week or so we were there. We had to start looking both ways every time. Even now we do it here. Because traffic can come from either way. You've got to be the example for your kids to show them what's right. Verse 37. He did not let anyone follow him. So when he got to Jairus' house, he didn't let anybody follow him except Peter, James, John, and the brother of James. When he came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, what's all the commotion? Why are you wailing? Child's not dead but asleep. And they laughed at him. How would you feel if you were Jesus? I'd be very tempted just to go, poof, poof, poof. You're gone, you're gone, you're gone. But he didn't. He was an example. Said, and he put them all out. He said, you guys need to get out. You don't believe. You're not going to see this miracle because you don't believe. But I'm going to bring the mom and the dad in and my disciples with me, and you're going to see something amazing. As Jesus went to Jairus' house, only four of his disciples were allowed to follow. As they arrived, people are crying and wailing. Jesus said, what's it about? And they said, he's dead. And she's dead. And he said, she's just sleeping. So he knew there was more coming, didn't he? He knew he could do something for this child. So he told those who didn't believe to leave. Sometimes we have people around us that don't believe. They don't believe we can do this. They don't believe in things. And that makes us discouraged, doesn't it? You got a new job, and they say, well, I don't think you can do that. You do something else. I'm not sure you can do that. I'm not sure you can handle it. I'm not sure you're intelligent enough or you're strong enough or you're big enough. And somebody comes along and says, yes, you are. You can do this. I know you can do it. You have that encouragement, and it gives you an opportunity to be better, doesn't it? The world today a lot of times is putting people down, isn't it? You can't do that. You're not good enough. You don't know this. But God says, with me, you're enough. You can do it. You're able. So we need to be influenced by those who believe, not those who don't believe. If you keep getting a negative input, negative input, negative input, what's going to happen? You're going to start being a negative person, aren't you? You're not going to believe you can do anything. You're going to believe you're a failure. Why should I try? I can't do it anyway. I'm no good. Where would you be today if your parents said that to you every day? You can't do that. You're just dumb. You're never going to make anything of yourself. You're worthless. Can't believe it, right? You don't need to believe it, but you need to have somebody else that's encouraging you. We need to make sure we don't listen to people that don't believe in the Lord. Jairus believed Jesus could heal his daughter, and he loved her. Verse 41, he took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began walking around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. So they believed, and some things we can believe, but when you see it, it makes it more real, doesn't it? Kathy and Russ yesterday were believing Sarah was going to get married. But when they actually went through the ceremony and see it, it's a whole different thing, isn't it? It becomes real. All of a sudden, it's real. It's like, yeah, we've been talking about this. It's here, and now it's actually happening. So Jairus had heard Jesus is going to heal his daughter, told him, but when it happened, it was like, wow, this is really happening. This is real. And that's the point that he was at. Jairus was rewarded for his faithfulness and belief in Christ. His efforts as a loving father paid off, didn't they? He went to Jesus, didn't care what anybody said. He had a daughter needed to be healed. And Jesus showed him some amazing power and healed her. And she stood up and walked around. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? Seeing a person laying there not breathing, Jesus touches her and says, get up. And she just stands up and she's fine. Imagine the story she's going to have to be able to tell from that point on. I died and Jesus rose me from the dead. And Jairus' family and daughter and friends and everybody else, what they saw, what happened, that they can share with others. We have stories in our lives we can share that God has done for us that we need to tell people. God did this for me. I've told you a story before about my daughter Faith. They said she wasn't going to make it. And we prayed and went to the next doctor. Was it like an hour later? How long was it? Same day, though. Went to another doctor the same day, and they said, she's okay. She's fine. So one doctor saying she's going to die, and there's no hope. And the next doctor said, it's gone. She's fine. So those kind of things, you remember that it had to be a God thing, because we didn't do anything. She just drove from one doctor to the next doctor, and God had done a healing. We had prayed in between. That was at a pastor's conference, I told you before, and he healed her. I believe that men and women of God are rewarded for faithfulness. We're faithful to Him. He's faithful to us. I'm going to share a couple quotes about fatherhood that I found. Mark Wahlberg, you know who that is, right? As a Chevy dealer, I think. He says, I pray to be a good servant to God, a father, a husband, a son, a friend, a brother, an uncle, a good neighbor, a good leader to those who look up to me, and a good follower of those who are serving God and doing the right thing. George Strait, you country folk, you know who George Strait is, says, daddies don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Idris Elba, you probably don't know who this guy is, do you? You watch Thor and those guys, he's the one with the sword that guards the gate. Anyway, he says, I watch my daughter wanting to be like other kids and getting upset that she's not. But I always try and instill in her the idea that she's perfect just as she is. It's okay to want to be better and do better, but you don't have to compare yourself with everybody else. God made you just the way you are. So man, don't ever let anyone lead you to believe that you're not important, because you're important to your family. How much different would the world be if dad stayed with their kids? If we had complete family units and not broken homes, to be an example to their kids. Well, a little boy prays to God that he would make him the kind of man that his daddy is. The father prays that God will make him the kind of man his son wants him to be. That's pretty deep, isn't it? Little boy's praying, I want to be like my dad. The dad's praying, I want to be the dad that my son wants me to be, that I should be. Only God can make us the kind of men we need to be. If we try to do it without Him, it's nearly impossible. But we need to show our wife and our kids, or your husband and your kids, whichever situation you're in, that they're important. So sometimes the woman is there as the leader of the house, isn't she? There is no dad. So she needs to love her kids as if the dad was there, and maybe get her kids involved with uncles or friends or family or other people in church that can be their dad, like my wife talked about. She had like six dads that could be there to kind of encourage and bring you up and help and things like that. It's not always easy being a dad, but it's worth it no matter what happens. People look up to us. As dads, we don't always win or succeed at everything, but we can't give up because there's too much at stake. Everybody likes to win, and that's okay, but we need to teach our kids how to win and how to lose. Everybody doesn't always get a prize. Teachers know what I'm talking about in that, right? Everybody gets a prize. Everybody wins. No, everybody doesn't always win. In the real world, you don't always win. You don't always get a prize. But in school, that's the way it is a lot of times today. Everybody's a winner. Everybody gets a prize. You don't do your homework, you're still a winner. No, you're not. You didn't do your homework. You're still going to get the F or E or whatever letter they're using now. Maybe it's not even letters anymore. Maybe it's a minus or something. But being a dad can be a fun job, one of the most fun jobs in the world. So you influence others, whether you're a man or whether you're a woman filling in. Just trust in God. Don't give up, because our kids need us, don't they? The future needs us. What society's going to go next to needs us to be examples, to be there. Not just be on your video games. Dun, 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 dun. Not just watching your football games. Not just going out to wherever you're going out, but spending time with your family, being there with your kids as long as you can. Calling them up, hey, what are you doing today? Hey, happy Father's Day to your kids. I say it to my kids too. They say it to me. I say it back to them. Because they're fathers too, learning. Hopefully they do a better job than me. That's the idea. For my kids to do better than I did. Be a better dad. To raise up stronger kids. But you know what you have to say? I did the best I knew how. I'm not going to regret it. I'm going to go on and try to do even better now. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for being with us. This is Father's Day, and we appreciate that. We thank you for that, Lord, for the fathers that you've given us. Even though they weren't perfect, some of them did the best they could, some of them failed terribly. But we have a chance to be different. We can be the fathers that you want us to be for our kids, and our kids to be fathers to their kids. Help us to be examples, Lord, to those who are around us. Those who haven't biologically had kids, like Russ talked about this morning, can still be fathers to those who need someone to look up to and to care for them and encourage them. So Lord, help us to do the best we can do, and we just thank you for our Father who art in heaven, and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to stand with us, please, and let's just sing that good song we sung for a rather long time. Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Take that.